Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Forgiveness, and we ask your mercy. We ask, O God, that you look upon us in the frailty of our stature, And Father, we ask that you help us, O God, to focus on the season that's before us, that we might accomplish what you have ordained us to accomplish. Lord, we ask you to cover us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, that we do not allow the enemy to enter, that we do not allow the enemy to come in, O God, and disturb us, O God, spiritually, mentally, or physically. We ask, Father God, that you protect us against every satanic power, every demonic power, every sorcerer, every warlock, every witch. Father, we declare today that we are victorious in you, O God, through Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, for our transgressions, for our iniquities. O Father, you are the sovereign God, the sovereign Lord, the one who sits high and sees low. And this morning we come to you with great expectations, O God. Lord, we know that you are God of love and mercy, but you're also a God of wrath. We ask, Father God, that you continue to protect those that are calling upon your name in repentance, O God, that you reach out and touch them, O God. We ask you to heal the sick in spirit and the sick in body this morning. We ask, Father God, that you heal and open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. We ask that you cause the dumb to speak and the crippled to walk. Oh, Father, we ask this morning that you would reach down from your throne in glory and reach into time this morning and touch those that are suffering, oh God, with all forms of cancer, emphysema, lupus, gout, arthritis, pains, oh God, those that are suffering, oh God, with bone cancer, liver cancer, brain cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer. Lord, those that are suffering internally and externally, we ask, Father God, for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we ask that you never forget us, O God, in times of trials and tribulations, that you always give us the strength to bounce back, O God. Lord, it's time that we are our spirit man is so heavy. And we recognize, oh God, that it's not only the enemy, but even family members will make you become heavy, make your spirit become heavy, discourage you because they don't think that you're who God called you to be, or you can be who God called you to be. Father, we ask today, Lord God, that you open eyes today, eyes to see the truth and ears to hear the truth. Father, we thank you for this new day, this day that we have not seen before and this day that we will never ever see again. We ask, O God, that you allow us, O God, to be blessed by the atmosphere this morning, that we take on the characteristics of Jesus Christ this morning, that no weapons that is formed against us will prosper, O God, that we will enter in by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, O God, and that we will no longer love our lives unto death. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch us this morning. Lord, we need a touch from heaven, a touch that will make a difference in our lives today. Yes, Lord. Yesterday was very painful, I must say. It was very heavy on my spirit, all that occurred on yesterday. But today is a new day. So we look forward to the blessings of hearing your voice today in the spirit and speaking your words in the mighty name of Jesus. We have to separate ourselves from some family members, not only friends. Sometimes family members are worse than friends, worse than the enemy. And we thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning we're going to be talking about Yahweh is sending a strong delusion because of your rejection of him. Yahweh, meaning God, is sending a strong delusion. And as you look at the world, you can see how the young people are so focused on today. They focus on the world system. They're not concerned about holiness. They're living like prostitutes, doing whatever they want to do that make them feel good. This is how the young people are living. And it's strange when you don't feel like you fit in, but you ought to feel that way because you are different. You understand what I'm saying? Don't knock yourself. You are different. You are a child of God. You are a born-again believer. So you're not going to feel like the world. You're not going to feel like the people you know. Why? Because God has called you out. He's called you out from the midst of sin. Hallelujah. He's called you out from the midst of sin. So you can't really tolerate the stuff that's going on in the world now. You are different. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have to understand that they're not going to like you. They're not going to like us because of who we are and whose we are. Let us look at the book of Corinthians. Let's go over there. This is not a scripture that I had in there, but I just heard it, and I want to put it out for bearing the way that it is in the Bible. And here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, and verses 17 and 18. And this is what Paul says. He said, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Jeremiah 31:1. All this is in the King James Bible. Jeremiah 31:1. This is what I'm getting now. Just want to put this on the recording. 31:1. He says, At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." Hear what the Lord is saying. When the people separate themselves from the worldly lusts and living in fornication, adulterous lifestyle, God says that we will be his people. He will be our God. He will be our father. Okay? Go to Revelation chapter 21, all in the King James Version. And then we're going to go into the text. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Let's read it again. Revelation 21:7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." This is God speaking. Okay? What is he talking about overcoming? Let me show you what he's talking about overcoming. And it's a difficult thing. You cannot overcome this on your own. This is what God says. Hallelujah. He says these are things that he wants us to overcome. Verse 8 says, "But the faithful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, we have to overcome all this abomination. We have to believe in God. We have to believe in the God, Jesus Christ. We cannot murder. We cannot take innocent lives. Whoremongers. We cannot work witchcraft, and we cannot worship idols. People are piercing themselves, piercings all over them, tattoos all over them. The Bible says in Leviticus, we should not pierce ourselves, put piercing or tattoos on ourselves. But this is the way that the world is going now, because Satan has deceived them. He has come down with great, came down from heaven with great vengeance to the world. But the world does not want to hear about Jesus. They do not want to hear about God. Do you hear what I'm saying? They have their own lifestyle, and the end of their lifestyle will be in the lake of fire and brimstone. The Bible just told us that. They don't believe in this holy book. The world don't believe in this book. Hallelujah. But this book is true. It was true in the beginning, and it's true now. Moses believed it then. We must believe it now. Okay? Let's go into the scripture. In the book of Romans, let's go to Romans. This is where the world is at right now, okay? Let's go to Romans. My base scripture is Romans chapter 1. And then we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 1. You know the scriptures. You heard it all the time. This is why they come against us when we preach this word. Romans chapter 1. People think they're better than you. They can mock you and laugh at you. Because they think they're better than you. They think they have more understanding than you. They think they're more gorgeous than you, more attractive than you. They find faults of you. But they don't even look at their own mistakes, their own selves. They don't look at themselves. This is why I see people going into places and killing people and doing mass murders, because the people come against them, and they get to the place that they feel like they just give up. And they come to the place where they want to take them all out. Listen to what the book of Romans says. Let's go start at verse 18. In God's anger at sin. If God is angry at sin, we as believers should be angry at sin too. We ought not be in agreement with sin. I don't care who committed sin. Your mama, your daddy, your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, your grandson, your great-grandson, your great-granddaughter. Daughter, doesn't matter, your niece, your nephew, doesn't matter who they are, they're committing sin, you ought to be against it. Separate yourself from them. Because sin would lead them into hell, but they don't believe that. Hell is real and heaven is real. It's not just living today, so when I die, I die. No, there's a one death and a second death. First death and a second death. People think that when they die, that's it. No, the Bible said there's a second death. The second death, it's spiritual death. You're going to die. I want to die the first death. I asked God yesterday to take me home. I'm not afraid of dying. I'd rather he take me home now than I can live the life in the life that I'm with people that I'm living with now. I'd rather die right now and go home. That's the way my mind is. I'm not afraid because I'm living to go home. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You have to get to that place. You have to be sold out to kingdom. You have to be sold out to the kingdom. And when you have a kingdom mindset, most people are not going to understand you, Brother Deacon Fraser. Most people are not going to understand you when you get a kingdom mindset. When you get a kingdom mindset, folk are going to come against you, because a kingdom mindset does not line up with this world. It does not fit with this world. Do you hear what I'm saying? A kingdom mindset calls you to hear from God, see what God, and see what God is showing you. That's what a kingdom mindset does. An earthly mindset only shows you earthly things. That's all it shows you is earthly things. Hallelujah. Now, here in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, Paul is speaking. This is the Apostle Paul. And we know that he used to be very destructive to the church. He used to arrest the people, the Christians, and put them in jail, and even have many of them put to death. But having an encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus, God changed his life, and he began to see the truth and hear the truth. Hallelujah. And he began to speak the truth. Listen. Listen now. Glory to God. Here, Paul says, but God showed his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Now, you see how they suppress the truth? They don't want the truth. So what they do is they constantly operate in a mindset of wickedness. They don't want the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. So they stay with this wicked mindset, which is leading them to hell. And they despise you and I because we are trying our best, not that we are perfect, but we are trying our best to live a life that pleases God. And when you try to live a life that pleases God, it will offend your brothers and sisters, and even your family members would be offended by your lifestyle. They call you crazy. They call me crazy. They say all this stuff about me. This all this stuff about you. Because why? We make it up in our mind that we're going to live to please the Lord or Savior. We're going to live, make up our mind to please our Savior. You've got to make it. It just don't happen like that overnight. We got to make the initiative to walk holy, to live holy. Here Paul says, they know the truth about God before he has made it obvious to them. They know the truth. These folks are not illiterate. They're not stupid. They're not dumb. A lot of these people have master degrees, doctorate degrees. Hallelujah. They have all types of education. They know the truth. But they prefer to live a lie. Do you hear me? They prefer to live a lie than to live the truth. Because a lie makes them happy. They all have the same smile. It looks like a computerized smile. But inside they have nothing happening on the inside. They're like a whitewashed, Apostle Washington always just said, they're like a whitewashed tomb. Look clean on the outside, but on the inside they're stinking. They're like a stinking sepulcher. This is what Paul says. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Hear what Paul is saying. Everything is made visible for us. We can see his invisible power by the workings of his hand. Look at the sky. Look at when you go in the nighttime, you look to the sky, you see the stars. They're a billion miles away, but you can still see the light from them. You look at the moon in one part of the sky and the sun on another part. You look and see. In one place, now we have sunlight today. We have sunlight today. In parts of Africa, it's nighttime. Hallelujah. It's nighttime because God set it up that way. He set it up that way. So you can't reject that he is sovereign, that he's Lord, that he reigns. And people tell you, people go to school and spend 4, 5, 6 years in school. Maybe longer, depends on what they studied. And then they come up with a master's degree, a PhD or something. But they're dumber than this after this, never been to school. Because they don't believe in the sovereign Lord that created them and gave them life. But they believe in everything that they can see, but they don't believe in the sovereign Lord. Ain't that something? You have a PhD, but you don't believe the one that gave you the power to get the PhD. These young people are some mess, man. Something else. That's why I don't grieve for them. I do not grieve for them at all. I don't grieve for them. Let me go back into this word. I'll be out of here soon. Soon I'll be out of here. Listen to what God says. Paul says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Did you see what the people are doing? Lesbianism, homosexualism, stealing, cussing, killing one another. Because they don't have any regard for life. Because the God of this world has made them that way. He has made them that they don't have any regard for life. They don't care for life. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. That's why they can go to a church, a house of the living God, and they can kill the pastors and kill the people in the church and don't have no remorse. These are what the young people are doing because they don't have no love for life. And then they will come against you and ridicule you, thinking that they're so smart, they're so educated. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. There's no truth in him. This is what the Bible says. There's no truth in the devil. This is why he has these people committing all type of heinous sins. Do you hear what I'm saying? He has them committing all types of heinous sins. When I speak as an oracle of God. That's when I speak. And people die too. People die when I speak. Because I speak as an oracle of God. And yesterday I saw, this morning, forgive me, Lord. And I saw many of my family dying, many of my family members dying, and dying sudden. I can't stop it. They're coming against me. That's the problem. And that's what happened. When you come against the man of God, the servant of God, guess what happened? Death. Remember the little boys that cussed Isaiah? Not Isaiah, Elijah. You remember when they cussed Elijah and they mocked him because he had bald head? And Elijah released a word in the atmosphere under them. And they were torn apart. They were torn apart this very same day by a lion and a bear. Kill them. Kill them. Kill all of them. Because they came against the man of God, the servant of God. I tell you this. I'm recording this. I have family members coming against me right now. Right now, even as I speak. Even as I speak. Listen to what Paul says. Claiming to be wise. This is what they're doing. They're claiming to be wise. This is what the people in the world are doing. They're claiming to be wise. Instead, they became utterly fools. He said, and instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other. And you see women and men having sex with each other, men with men and women with women. These are what God allowed them to do. The Bible said that God, as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Listen what he says. This is Paul speaking what God says. Paul is the mouthpiece. Hallelujah. He is the ambassador for God. He says, they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worship and serve the things God created instead of the Creator himself. So who is worthy of eternal praise? Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turn against the natural way to have sex instead indulge in sex with each other, women with women and men with men. This is what happened in the world. And they say this is their own body. They can do what they want. And it's truly their own body. So when they get AIDS, why are you crying and asking somebody to pray for you? Why do you want somebody to pray for you when you're filled with venereal disease? Listen what he says. Woo! And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burn with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with each other, men, with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffer within themselves the penalty they deserve. They got sick. AIDS and all types of virus came from they having sex with each other, men with men and women with women. Listen, they're fighting against the church. They're coming against the church. But one thing to do, the Bible says, Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it doesn't matter what they do and what they say about the church and how they come against us, they cannot stop the church of the living God. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can stop the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Here, you might kill a couple of Christians. You might kill a couple of pastors. You might even kill me. But you can't stop the word of God from going forth. The word of God going to go forth regardless if I'm here or not. It's going to go forth. Listen what God is saying. They worship the devil instead of the creator. The creature instead of the creator. And this is what they're doing. When they're putting in tattoos and they're putting all these piercings and all this stuff, they don't know that they are doing exactly what the devil, what Satan wants them to do. And they think it looks cute. They think it looks cute. And Satan is laughing all the way. All the way to hell he's laughing. Listen to what God is saying. Ooh. Verse 28. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and led them to do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do the same. These people are wicked. Wicked people. All they want to do is sin. They live sinful lives. They don't care about God. They don't have no love for God. You cannot love God and still sin. It's impossible. It's impossible. And a lot of them are capitalists. A lot of them are capitalists. A lot of them are Jews too. They don't care for God. You cannot say you love God or you love the Father and hate the Son. You cannot. It's impossible. It doesn't work that way. None of us are perfect. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is what Romans chapter 3 and 23 says. The Bible says in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So if you continue to sin, you're going to end up in the lake of fire and brimstone, the second death. Sin may feel good to you right now, may taste good to you right now, but the end is spiritual death. Spiritual death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do the same. Go to Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 9 to 12. This is what he's saying here in Second Thessalonians chapter 2. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He's talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to put on signs, miracles, and wonders, and many unbelievers are going to follow him. Even some believers are going to follow him because he's even going to call down fire from heaven, the Antichrist, which means that he is against everything that Christ stands for. That's what the Antichrist means. He's objective to everything that the Lord and Savior says. Hallelujah. If God said good, he said bad. If God said laugh, he said, no, crap. Listen to what he says. He will use any kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction. Because they refuse to love and accept truth that would save them. Most people don't want the living truth. This is why the Democrats can get on television and they can say all types of deceptive things, and these folk will run behind them. They will run behind them. My son, my daughter, my wife, my daughter-in-law, all of them, they run behind the Democratic satanic agenda. They all go behind it. But pretty soon you're going to see them start dying. Pretty soon you're going to see some start dying. One by one, they're going to start dying. Watch and see. My word don't fall to the ground. Listen what God says. So God will cause them to be to be greatly deceived. God will cause them to be greatly deceived. See, they reject God. Remember what we're talking about is Yahweh is sending a strong delusion because you're rejection of him. They reject the sovereign Lord. So now God sent them a strong delusion so they will believe what they're seeing, what they're hearing. They can't even though they have PhDs and have MAs and all types of doctorate degrees, they can't even see or understand when they're being lied to by the politicians, by the world system. Listen what he says. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And verses 11 to 18. Coming out the NLT. Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. Listen, this is John speaking now. John saw this in the vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bible computer acting up here a little bit. Let's go to this other computer. And then we'll see what we got. Revelation chapter 13. Try to pull that up in all of us, but this new computer is acting up a little foolish, a little crazy. John, Revelation chapter 13. Glory to God. 18, 11, 11 to 18. go. And I saw another beast coming up from the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he was speaking like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast on behalf of him. And he causes the earth and those who live in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wounds have been healed. And he performed great signs. See, the Antichrist is going to perform great signs. And the Bible says that the Antichrist is already in the earth. He's already here because there's many Antichrists, not just one. Now, in the following section, John introduces his second beast, who is later described as the false prophet in Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, and Revelation chapter 19, Revelation. The second beast is a religious counterpart that encourages worship of the political first beast. For John's original readers, this could have meant that Satan was behind the rise of the imperial religion, while the emperor sanctioned it and the second beast promoted it throughout the empire. The Bible says he will perform signs so that he even causes fire from heaven to come down to the earth before people. Verse 14 says, and he deceived those who live on the earth because of the signs that it has been granted to him to perform on behalf of the beast. You see, the second beast was given power. You know, a lot of times folks say that Satan don't have no power. If he didn't have power, how could he deceive all of these entertainers and these movie stars and even politicians and even some Christian folk, so-called Christian folk? How could he deceive them? He had power. This is why we have to stay hooked up and tied up to Christ Jesus. We have to stay under the blood. Because under the blood is protection. Under the blood is power. We got to stay under the blood. You can't worry about other people. You got to keep your focus on the blood. This beast coming up from the earth, this may be a parody of the lamb who rose from the earth at resurrection. See, Satan always wants to do everything like Christ Jesus. He's a counterfeit. He's a copy artist. This is what he does. He copies everything that God does. He was speaking like a dragon, distinguish him from the lamb. Perhaps like a dragon refers to the dragon from which he received authority, whose fatal wounds have been healed. The text does not say that how the first beast is healed, but the signs mentioned in the next verse suggest that this false prophet, the second beast, may have been responsible for healing the first beast, verses 3. He performs great signs. The signs authenticated his message and demonstrate that he, the beast, should be worshipped. Cause fire to come down from heaven, as Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. This second beast may be imitating the miracles of God's prophets in an attempt to demonstrate his superiority over them and to identify the first beast as divine. See, Satan wants to act like God. Matter of fact, he wants to be God. And he wants people to believe him and worship him as though he was the sovereign Lord. He is the God of this world, but he's not the God. You must understand this. This is why so many are being deceived. So many are being deceived because the miracles and the wonders and the signs that Satan is doing are deceptive. And just like in the garden with Adam and Eve, where he told Eve that God knew that if she eat of the fruit, that her eyes would be open and they'd be as gods. Hallelujah. Deception is the key. It's the key of Satan's actions. It's the key. Everything he does is about deceiving. Now, to make an image to the beast, in John's day, images, busts, and statues were set up throughout the empire in tribute to the deified emperor. Possibly hyperbolic. Possibly hyperbolic language used to express the authority that the false prophet and the images had. The command to worship and the threat upon the disobedient was so real that the images themselves seemed to be demanding an allegiance. To kill them illustrates the situation John's audience faced in Asia Minor, in Mark. In the ancient world, religious branding was a common way to display devotion to a particular deity. The Greek word karamag, meaning mark, brand stamp, describes the imperial logo on commercial documents, merchandise, or coinage. Right on the right hand or the forehead, this may be a parody of the seal that Christians had in Revelation chapter 7, verse 3, and Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, or of the Israelites bearing God's law. Jews often wore boxes called phylacteries, containing portions of the law on their foreheads or hands. Exodus chapter 13 and 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 8. Now, there would be economic depressions and poverty for those who would not bear the mark. The church in Smyrna may have already been feeling these effects. Revelation chapter 2 and 9. And verse 18 says, and this is number 666. John may be employing gematria, the practice of assigning numbers to letters of the alphabet. The number may allude to the Romans' opposition. Since one spelling of Emperor Nero's name, transliterated from Greek into Hebrew as up to 666. By this method, an alternative is to see a contrast between this number and seven. The number of completion. Three sixes might indicate that the beast falls short of completion. To book. Verse 14, Revelation chapter 13. And he deceived those who live on the earth because of the sign that it has been granted to him to perform on behalf of the beast, telling those who live on the earth to to make an image to the beast, who has the wound of the sword and yet live. And it was given to him to put breath into the image of the beast, in order that the image of the beast both spoke and caused that all those, unless they worship the image of the beast, should be killed. And he caused all people, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free and the slave, and they gave them a mark on their right hand or on the forehead. Verse 17 says, and that no one was able to buy or to sell except the one who had the mark. The name of the beast, or number of his name, here is wisdom. The one who has understanding, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number, for it is man's number, and his number is 666. Let us go to Amos chapter 8. Glory to God. Amos, Old Testament scripture. Amos chapter 8 and verses 11 to 14. The time is surely coming, says the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Prophet is saying by the Spirit of the Lord. He said that a famine is coming, not of bread and water. Because, you know, when we think of a famine, we think of the scarcity of food, natural food for the body. But he says, no, a famine of the Word of God. You see, people going, there's a time coming, and it's coming real quick on us. And it may happen in our lifetime, where the president's going to ban all teaching and preaching of the gospel. You see how this president is coming against Christianity, this one that we got right now? Well, he may even go to the extreme to completely ban preaching and teaching. I mean, they did it in, they're doing it in China, and he's taking on the very attributes of the leader of China, the Chinese leader. Everything they do, he's doing, he wants to do here. So we may come to that place where we are not able to teach and preach the gospel. We have to hide and teach it, just like they do in China, what they call an underground Christian, underground ministry. He said there's going to be a famine of hearing the word. He said people will stagger from sea to sea and wander from border to border searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Can you imagine that? There's some people that's going to become hungry and thirsty for it, want the word, but they can't find it. They're not going to be able to find it. This is why we got to hide this word in our hearts. We got to put it in. That's why we got to study. Keep studying the word of God and let the word be in your heart. Because when the enemy come against us, we'll have something to fight him with, the word. Not with weapons of warfare, but with the word of God. And the place you're going to have to start fighting with the word of God is in your own home, with your family. Because your family going to come against you. The enemy going to use your family against you. I'm experiencing that right now. You know, I'm experiencing it right now, as I speak to you. And I was talking to a leader yesterday about this stuff. I'm experiencing it right now. Hallelujah. All family is not blood. I see that post on Facebook. All family is not blood. Some families like enemies to you, to the cross. Some families like that, because they have taken on the very characteristics of Satan, You hear me? Listen. Now he says, verse 12 says, Amos chapter 8 and 12, people will stagger from sea to sea and wander from border to border, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Verse 13 says, beautiful girls and strong young men will grow faint in that day, thirsting for the Lord's word. And those who swear by the shameful idols of Samaria, who take oaths in the name of the God of Dan and make vows to the name of the God of Beersheba, they will all fall down over there and never rise again. Do you hear what God is saying? They will all fall down. So when you see, watch and see, some of these folk that think that they're standing, watch, and you will see them fall, because God said they're going to fall. They think that they're secure. They think that they have it going on. But God said they will fall. Why would they fall? Remember what the topic is, because they rejected him. This is why they will fall. Yahweh is sending a strong delusion because your rejection of him, people rejecting God. You got people in the streets that are mocking God right here in our nation, mocking God. Young people, old people, male-ish, they're mocking God. Just like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Hallelujah. They mock God. In the days of Noah, they mock God, and God sent the flood. But now he's sending a strong delusion. That means that they're going to believe in anything that's not of God. And we see it happening right now. You see that young women can have boyfriends and still have a sexual relationship with another girl. A young man can have a girlfriend and still have a sexual relationship with another man. Because this is the world that we're living in right now. Everything that's bad, they're making it seem that it's good. They're acting like it's good. Because we're living in a satanic realm right now. The God of this world is causing the people to do all sinful things. And we will see them die. We will live to see them die. Die before us. Listen to what he says. They say we're radical. You have to be radical. You have to be radical for the kingdom. You can't play with the kingdom. The kingdom is not a plaything. It's not a game. The kingdom is real. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 28 and 29. He said, the Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and panic. You will grope around in broad daylight like a blind person groping in the darkness, but you will not find your way. You will be oppressed and robbed continually, and no one will come to save you. Do you hear what the Lord says? This is the prophet Moses speaking what the Lord says. People are going to be going around and can't find their way because they ask me, they're going to be blind to the truth. They're going to be blind to the truth because they rejected the truth. God is truth. Jesus is the truth. I have family members that tell me straight to my face, they don't believe. Straight to my face, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in all that stuff. And they reject Christianity. They reject, not even Christianity, the word of God. They don't believe in it. Why? Because Satan has blinded them. He said that in 1 Corinthians 4:4. He has blinded them. So they rather serve the creature than the creator. Let's go over there and see the scripture. Because you got to know, when you hear stuff, and this is not in the scripture, this is not in the text, but listen what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 4. Listen what Paul says. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. Listen what he says. Let's go back to verse 1. Because this can tie into this sermon. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have receive mercy, we faint not. We don't get tired. We don't give up, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them lost. They're lost in their own way of thinking, in their own mindset. They are lost. You have family members that they don't train the children to know God. They train the children and the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, to know their way. So their grandchildren and great-grandchildren take on their characteristics. It takes on their attributes. They act just like them. They don't know anything about God. Don't have an understanding of the living God. That's why they reject the truth. That's why they can mock the man of God or the woman of God. Like they're all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. Like they're all that. Genesis chapter 12. Go to Genesis chapter 12 in the King James Version. Genesis chapter 12. David told the Lord, he said, Lord, I hate what you hate, and I love what you love. You got to hate some people. You got to hate them. Because God hates the spirit that's in them. You got to hate them. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. He told Abram, his name was Abram, before he became Abraham. Listen to what he said to Abram. Let's start at verse 1. We're only going to do three verses here. Four verses. He told Abram, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. This is God talking to Abram before his name was changed to Abraham. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. This is verse 3, the one I want to put up here. And this is what God said to Abram before his name was changed. And God changed his name from Abram to Abraham and from Sarai to Sarah. And he says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And indeed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Here was us. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abram left his family. Sometimes you got to leave your family. You're going to have to leave your family. You're going to have to leave your husband. You're going to have to leave your wife. Because God wants you to go to a place that he's showing you where he can bless you, where he can elevate you to a place in his kingdom. Let's give you one more scripture here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 in the NLT. Genesis chapter 15. Then the Lord said to Abram, you can't be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land where they will be oppressed as slaves 400 years. These are black people. These are African people. They was oppressed for 400 years. The seed of Abraham. As for you, Abraham, you will die in peace. I'm buried at a ripe old age. This is what the Lord says. When you walk away before him. Hallelujah. Let us go to Exodus. And then we're going to close out. Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Verse 13 and 14 and 22. Pharaoh's heart, however, remained hard. He still refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn, and he still refused to let the people go. The Lord kicked back and forth, hardening Pharaoh's heart, because God knew that when he bring out the people, he going to bring them out with a strong heart. In chapter 8 and verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that relief had come, he became stubborn. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted. Verse 19. In this, this is the finger of God, the magicians exclaimed to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh's heart remained hard. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen to them, just as the Lord had predicted. And verse 22 says, verse 32 says, but Pharaoh again became stubborn and refused to let the children of Egypt, of Israel go. Chapter 9. Pharaoh sent his officials to investigate, and they discover that the Israelites had not lost a single animal. But even so, Pharaoh's heart remained stubborn, and he still refused to let the people go. Now, what happened is that God is using Moses and Aaron to perform miracles through the using of the staff. And Pharaoh would use his musicians, and his musicians would perform works too. And when they perform magic, Pharaoh would think that he still had the power, had the authority. Verse 34 and 35 of chapter 9 of Exodus. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain, hail and thunder had stopped, he and his officials sinned again, and Pharaoh again became stubborn because his heart was hard. Pharaoh refused to let the people leave, just as the Lord had predicted through Moses. Go back to verse 12. Let me see. Yes, verse 12 says that, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and just as the Lord had predicted to Moses, Pharaoh refused to listen. Exodus chapter 10. I'm going to give you the scriptures because we're going somewhere else tomorrow. Exodus chapter 10, verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Moses, return to Pharaoh and make your demand again. I have made him and his officials stubborn, so I can display my miraculous signs among them. Now, this is going to be the plagues of the locusts. And God is making Pharaoh stubborn so that God's hand can be seen. The power of God can be seen working through. Verse 20, chapter 10 of, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart again, so he refused to let the people go. And verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart once again, and he would not let the Israelites go. God is doing what he wanted to do, and only he can do, so that he would get the reverence that is so due to his name. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And verse 21, let me see. And the Lord told Moses, when you arise back in Egypt, go to Pharaoh and perform all the miracles I have empowered you to do. But I will harden his heart, so he will refuse to let the people go. The Lord told Moses to go to Pharaoh. He says, but I will harden his heart. Chapter 7 and 3. But I will make Pharaoh's heart stubborn, so I can multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt.
This is the word of God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. Lord, and pray that we said something today that would make all the difference in someone's life. If the Lord say the same, we will talk tomorrow from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. All God requires is obedience. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to take this time out before we get out here. I want to read this from some notes that I have here. They said your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it. Heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven, and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Recognize that you are a sinner. God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and 23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone shall boast. Number three, you must believe that Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways, but that he was the way. And number four, you must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. Some may say, I'm still young, and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. One, you do not need to be old to be near eternity. Two, the prophecies of the Bible says, that Jesus will return again. These prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it. Because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation 22 and 7, behold, I am coming quickly. He didn't say he was coming quick, but he said he's coming quickly. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you're walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3, 36b. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Peter says in Acts 2 and 38 that you must repent, that every one of you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the first thing you must do is repent. Repent means that you must turn away from sin, turn away from living the life that you've been living, and turn to the life of righteousness, holiness. Turn to that lifestyle. And if you want to receive that right now, you can right now by saying, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I've been living my life as I please. But today I heard the word, and I'm pleased with the word that I heard today. I am touched, Lord, that you have chosen to give your life so that I might have life. That you laid down your life that I might have access to the tree of life. Understand that there's no other name
under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only Jesus. It's the only name that you can be saved. It doesn't matter what the Muslim says, what the Jew says, what the Sikh says, what the Buddha says. Jesus is the only name by which you can be saved. Don't let nobody tell you different. He's the only name. Hallelujah. So you want to get yourself, you want to get yourself connected with the name of Jesus. So if you will call upon him according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. But the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be put to shame. Should not be put to shame. Hallelujah. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, shame has no power. So I thank God for you. And I thank God for all those that received the gift of salvation today. And if you ask from Jesus right now, say, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all his agents and this world system. And I come to you this morning with great expectation, knowing that you are the only one that are able to give me this life that I am hungry and thirsty for. My heart is open now, and my mind is receptive, Lord Jesus. Into my heart now, fill me with your presence. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness according to 1 John 1 and 9. And I know I will be cleansed. If you just said that prayer, you believe it, you have just received the gift of salvation. Tomorrow, I'm going to drive out tomorrow morning and do the Love Talk Radio from the truck. I'm late to do that. So we just thank the Lord for you and praise the Lord. We give him glory. We give him honor and praise. Thanking God for all that he has done today, all that he will do. And if you receive the prayer of salvation and you call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that knows how to baptize in the name of Jesus, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your coworkers, and anybody else that you can get. Because this is your new birthday, the day that you get baptized will be your new birthday. And you want to have people to witness. You want witnesses. Hallelujah. The gift that you have received from the Lord. I thank God for you all. Really do. Thank God for you all that came on in and listened this morning. Thank God for Brother Deacon Fraser. Thank God for his family. Keep praying for the bishops and his wife, Apostle. Washing them, keep them in prayer. Keep Pastor Millie in prayer. Pastor Stuart and Pastor Joyce in prayer. Keep the saints in prayer. And we pray for those that are seeking. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are seeking the kingdom. You wouldn't think so, but it is. Even though there's a lot of business and satanic agendas very strong out there now. Got to know that Jesus' power is stronger. And his power is stronger This is where the enemy is attacking us. He's attacking us the way he is, because he know we serve a powerful God, a holy God. The enemy knows that, and he's doing everything to stop us. Doing everything. But we're going to continue on the path in spite of the enemy. God bless you all. We're going to pray and relax. Get over here. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God. Thank you for the word, O God. What a blessed word. And thank you for Brother Deacon. Praise the Lord. We ask you to bless him. Strengthen him. Oh God, to stay on the battlefield. Stay on the wall like a Nehemiah. Don't come down off the wall. Don't care what happens. Stay on the wall. This is what you have to do. It's not about how many people you have on the line or don't have on the line. It's about Jesus, the commission. You never read in the Bible that Elijah had a big congregation, but you heard about the wonderful things that they were doing for the kingdom. You know, how they were ministering to all type of people with all types of diseases. They were being healed and delivered. You know, sometimes Elijah would just go walking all by himself. And he would find himself ministering. He didn't have a big church. He didn't have a lot of people following him. You know, Elisha had one person, Gehazi, one guy, his army bearer, that would go every place with him where he go. He had a lot of people. But I always remember that you and God is the majority. I am and God. God and I is the majority. And we do great works together. Father, we thank you and praise you for the word today. Thank you for Brother Deacon that came on and whoever's listening by way of satellite system. We just thank you for those that would hear this word. And we hope that this word was a blessing and will be a blessing to the hearers, even as it was a blessing to me. Father, we ask you to bless us in the city and bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We pray that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh God, we praying today will make a difference in our lives. Oh God, that we will never, 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 never be the same. In Jesus' name, we pray. Now, Father, as Sister Tina sent us a group text this morning that she thinks that it may be tomorrow, someday this week or whatever, Lord, we are praying that you release, because we know that the funds cannot come on till you release them. So we ask him, Father God, if you touch the Iranians, oh God, the Iraqians and the Syrians and, oh God, the Germans, all who have, the Russians, all who have connection with this global reset finances, the World Banks, God, so that we can be able to help many more thousands upon thousands of people before we leave this earth, man. And Father, we'll be so careful for when you make the release. Lord, we'll wait until you say the time is right, and we will do what you say. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. God bless you all. I love you. But remember, God loves you more. Have a blessed day, a safe day. and we will talk to you on tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll talk to you. We'll be back here again tomorrow to bring a fresh word tomorrow. We're going to talk about obedience. Obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God bless you all. I'm finished, and I'm getting out of here. God bless. Bye-bye.